Hello, friend, and thank you for joining us for the Andrews Memorial Baptist Hour, coming to you from Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, located at 301 West Elm Street in Graham, North Carolina. We invite you to join us in person for our worship services beginning on Sundays at 10 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. If you're unable to join us in person, we invite you to watch us online for our Andrews Memorial Baptist live stream at andrewsmemorial.org. We gather today in the name of Jesus to worship Jesus at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, loving our God, loving our neighbors.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face.
Singing. You may be seated. Brother Thomas Gathians, would you come lead us in prayer this morning? Do you have a prayer request today by an uplifted hand, someone spoken to the Lord? Let's do pray one for another, pray for the service today as Brother Thomas leads us.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be back in thy house to hear the preaching and teaching of thy precious word, Lord. We pray, Lord, for each brother and sister here today, God. We pray that you'll touch their lives, bless their soul, we encourage their hearts to serve you even greater. Pray, Lord, you'll be with the camp ministry and the church and school ministry, Lord, and the missionaries. Pray, God, that you'll bless them, use them for your honor and your glory, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, there's so many on the prayer list. Pray, God, that you'll intervene in each one of them's lives. Touch the hearts of them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings in life, Lord. As we go through life, help us to uplift thy name wherever we go and bring honor and glory to thee that be pleasing to thee. We love you and thank you for give many blessings, Lord. Let us be in the church today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Fill my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Sometimes I'm passing rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Good singing. You may be seated. Our Father, we're so thankful we could be at the house of God today. We praise thy holy name for salvation that's in Jesus and Jesus alone. We praise thy name that everything that we have today is because of thee. And I praise thy name that the people's here today, the pastor's here today, and we're in this place that we came to worship thee. And I pray that's exactly what we'll do today. Help us to gather our hearts together, our minds together, and help us to hear the word of God preached and given out today and to apply it to our hearts and our lives and to use it for thee. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to worship you in the offering today. Let the offering be used for the honor and glory of the Lord God Almighty to lift up the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died.
Singing. You may be seated, church.
Role for a man to come
Good morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4 this morning. Acts chapter 4. This morning, as we continue our series in the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'd like us to look at a passage where we make a whole lot of sense about the way the Holy Spirit works in our life and realize that the work and the change that He brings isn't because we are special, but because Jesus is, and how wonderful it is to be able to live this life serving Jesus in the good times and in the bad times, in the up moments of life and in the difficult moments of life. And as we get started this morning, I want to ask you a question about whether or not you know your personality type. There are two types of personalities in this room represented this morning. I know there's probably a whole lot more diversity than that, but as far as this category goes, you probably fall into one of two categories. Either you are an extrovert or you are an introvert. What's the difference? If you are an extrovert, you know the difference. If you're an introvert, you know the difference. But let's look and establish just a definition, a working definition, or some characteristics of what an extrovert looks like. An extrovert person is someone who is generally outgoing, loves to be around a crowd, never met a stranger, certainly confident in social situations, loves to stand up and speak, and loves to be heard. And in their confidence and in their ability to stand up and to speak out, it absolutely just, it's commanding to see their work in a moment, in a situation, just to see an extrovert. You know an extrovert when you meet an extrovert. They are just, everyone knows who that extrovert is. They just constantly speak and have something to say. To the extreme, though, we find some people that could be a little bit coming across as too aggressive. Extroverted people have the tendency to be opinionated, certainly want people to hear their opinions, and they come across as too aggressive, especially if you're introverted. You admire an extrovert if you're introverted, but an extrovert tends to not have a lot of patience with an introverted person because they're not like me. When I say me, I mean the introvert. But an introverted person is someone who is happiest by themselves. They love to work independent. They get anxious in social situations. And I'll do a test right now for whether you're introvert or extrovert, okay? I'm going to need you to get on the radio broadcast this morning, and you're going to speak to Alamance County. Be thinking about what you're going to say, okay? All right, if your heart is palpitating right now, you're thinking, please don't make me do that. Even though in Radio Land, no one sees your face. If you're thinking about that right now and your heart's beating, then most likely you're an introvert. An extrovert person says, well, what can I not talk about? I've got something that I can talk about at any drop of a hat, any moment's notice. An introverted person is independent, is anxious, and often comes across as reserved. We call this shy or quiet. There's the life in a room, and then there are the other people in the room that are just occupying space. That's the introverts. At the extreme, where the extrovert is overly confident, sometimes comes across too strong, the introverted person comes across too shy to the point that it's just rather awkward. You do not know whether or not they're even connected, if they even hear you, if they're even aware of reality, that they're so lost in their own little world that an introverted person stays inward focused
And so of the two categories this morning, where would you find yourself as, or what would you define yourself as, an introvert or as an extrovert? You know an extrovert when you meet him. And the problem with an introvert is that you do not know where you stand with an introvert because, quite frankly, they're not comfortable talking to you. All right, two personality types, introvert and extrovert. But now we come to the work of being a witness for Jesus. If you're an extrovert, it just comes easy. It just comes across just something that, matter-of-factly, there's no subject that you cannot talk about that you do not feel comfortable speaking about. And we think about evangelism in terms of extroverted people are really gifted at speaking to other people. And for introverts, just the thought of speaking to someone, just a stranger, even asking someone to move their grocery cart in the grocery store, terrifies you. So what we need is to understand that for both personality types, the mission is the same. For both personality types, we need to identify a method, especially for the socially awkward. And if you think I'm referring to socially awkward as being someone who is introverted alone, and I'm not talking about extroverted people, you're right. Introverted people can share the gospel with confidence, and introverted people can speak their witness and their testimony with confidence, but it comes hard. Extroverted people have to be careful because sometimes they insert too much of themselves in the statement, and they cause a lot of confusion. This morning in Acts chapter 4, I'm going to show you in the passage that is provided for us, as Luke records the story, we are going to look this morning at the power of boldness. And can you imagine that whether you're an extrovert or you're an introvert, that boldness is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the believer who's sold out to him, who's seeking to serve Jesus. And the problem that we have with boldness, is when I say that word, we oftentimes tend to think that it means that you're just speaking over the crowd. That if someone's shouting and someone's yelling, you can get your voice just a little bit louder so that they can't, you can drown them out. And that really doesn't add much to the conversation. It just escalates the volume and the noise and the circumstance. Speaking over the crowd is, yes, the goal, breaking down the pressures and breaking down the challenges and the errors and the sin takes a lot of boldness to address. But I want you to know that it's not necessarily forced, but rather Holy Spirit endowed and imbued. Because boldness isn't just speaking loud. Boldness is knowing what to speak and when to speak. As we witness and as we stand up and share our faith, understanding that in a moment and in the dictates of a moment, that the Holy Spirit gives us the words that we need to speak in that moment. And there's a big difference when we speak through the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit versus when we speak in our own strength or from our own terror. Here's our big idea this morning, then we're going to be done. The Holy Spirit enables the power to stand, to speak, and to serve. Would you join me in prayer this morning as we ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word this morning? Lord Jesus, we come to You today, and I pray, Lord, that in the moment today, that You'd still our hearts that sometimes race and become so distracted and overwhelmed by our circumstances. Realize, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit is at work even in those moments, and especially in those moments, and that You can take the difficult moments of life and transform them for Your glory, because You do that. In Acts chapter 4, Lord, we see how Peter and John get in trouble for doing something in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn from their example and that Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and our lives. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, we see there's trouble for Peter and John. Get this, a deep thought. Acts chapter 3 is connected to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, we find that the problem of Peter and John healing that young man with the withered hand, we're going to find an answer. Last week we said we didn't know how long he had suffered with that withered hand that they had healed, that he was outside the gate there at the temple. And as we look to his story this morning, we're going to see how the Lord takes that circumstance, and there's still a work going on in Acts chapter 4. And we're going to see the believer's strength and the believer's faith strengthened with boldness through the power of suffering. Would you look with me at Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13? And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Here's the problem. Peter and John have been apprehended, or they are being questioned now by the powers that be, the people who have the power to silence people, silence this ragtag group of followers of Jesus that they thought they had taken care of. They want to know what's going on here. And we have an issue here that we're going to get right to the heart of the matter. Because when we look at Jesus and the way that the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious authorities came after Jesus, it was because he healed on the Sabbath day that they questioned his goodness and his holiness and his character, because he was willing to do something that they believed was wrong. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, healing on the Sabbath day. And they believe that because he healed on the Sabbath day, he's disqualified himself. And not just disqualified himself, that he needs to be quiet. They sought to kill him. So we have Peter and John here who are now being picked up by the leaders because they themselves have healed someone on their way to the temple to pray that day. But the offense does not seem to be the healing. The offense seems to be their message, what they preached about. Verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Let's be clear what happened to Peter and John. They weren't just detained momentarily. They were jailed for the sake of the gospel. One of the first times that they're going to go to jail because of standing up for Jesus. You and I think about the religious persecution that exists in this world. And in context, here in America, it is by far much tamer than it is anywhere else in the world, I believe. Because we hear stories of people who are martyred for their faith around the globe. Simply being a Christian, they find themselves jailed because the government fears their message, their identity as followers of Jesus. Peter and John, we find, are our prototypes, the very first of those who are jailed for the sake of the gospel. And I have a question for you. If it were going to require you to be incarcerated, would you stand up? Would you do the right thing, and would you speak the truth in a moment if you knew that it was going to mean suffering and hardship? And I'm going to step back a little bit on this issue and say, think about it this terms, because you and I may not go to jail in America today. The day probably is coming when it will happen. But for right now, you and I have freedom and liberty to believe in the name of Jesus as far as our government's recognized. If the government refuses to recognize that right, would you and I continue in the faith? That's the context of the jailing. But suffering, the power to suffer for Jesus. I think about Peter and John here, and they have done something great in the name of Jesus. And the trouble that's going to follow them, the trouble that's going to be all around them in this moment as we look here in Acts chapter 4, as they are jailed for the gospel, the question becomes, how far or what has to happen to you in order to stop your gospel witness? What has to happen to in you to quench your service for the Lord? I believe, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, that the threshold is a lot lower than just going to jail. It could be a crisis in your life, a It could be a big problem in your life, something that's overwhelmed you and set you back. We see Peter and John here jailed for the sake of the gospel. And that's key to understanding the power to suffer and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to equip us and give us peace during those difficult moments. Look with me in verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of those men was about 5,000. Ah, here we go. The problem isn't so much that they healed a man and that everyone saw it. The problem was that they had preached Jesus, and the problem is that there are now 5,000 people following them. They've got a growing movement. People are seeing their miracles, and they're believing in the name of Jesus. Here's the problem, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the powers that be realize, if we don't act now, this problem's going to grow out of control. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and their elders and their scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? We're going to see they're going to say something remarkable in this moment because they're in trouble. They happen to know these individuals, these leaders, who were not shy to make any bones about their feelings on Jesus. And they're going to see Peter give an answer about the power in the name of Jesus. We see here that the Holy Spirit fills Peter, it tells us in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Unless there's any question, it is the name of Jesus. And if there's any confusion here, Peter's going to go one step further and say, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. The one that you wanted to reject is now the preeminent one. There is power in the name of Jesus. Whether you're an introvert or you're an extrovert, the power in the name of Jesus is what makes the difference in our lives. Look with me at verse 12. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And unless there's any confusion, the Holy Spirit fit Peter and John for this moment. A clear statement of by whose name, whose authority are you doing this work? The Holy Spirit gives Peter and John the answer. And it's remarkable and amazing here is that who they are speaking to. With boldness, they are addressing these leaders, the high priests, the Sanhedrin, the followers of Israel's old system, the rejectors of Jesus. They are standing before them and they are speaking with authority of Jesus and in his name. And here's where the rub comes in verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Did you notice that? They were unlearned. They were recognized. These guys, they shouldn't be able to stand up here and speak with that authority. They're just common laborers. They don't have the right credentials, but they have boldness. They're recognized for not having any preferred credentials or the right recognized authority. They didn't provide who it was, the rabbi that they studied on, that was recognized. They had simply been with Jesus. And Jesus prepared the two for this moment. So the power to suffer for Christ's sake, we see, comes through the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us. And I think it's important to stop and say we need to rethink our definition of success. Because you and I, in the way this world works, is we tend to think and measure our successes in numbers of dollars and in numbers. And yes, that's a great measure of blessing. And I know a lot of people are attracted to wanting to know how to unlock a blessing. They want more money in their bank account. They want more success on the job. People are looking for answers, and we are using the currency of today, success, defining it in terms of numbers and dollars. But in Acts chapter 4, we see the measurements recalibrated in terms of grace. Peter and John with boldness. Now you could argue Peter was the hothead. Peter's the one that was first drew his sword out and cut off Malchus, the servant's ear, that night in the garden. But we see in this moment that the Holy Spirit is meeting their need by providing them grace. I'd like to look at now the power to speak for Christ's sake. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, and that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Remember, boldness isn't speaking over the crowd. It's not just shouting and adding to the confusion. Boldness is speaking the right words at the right time, saying what needs to be said in the moment. You have to admit, being an extroverted person, speaking words that you feel strongly about, they just come easy to you. It's a tendency for us to think about extroverted people as being bossy or opinionated because they don't mind sharing their opinions. And introverted people are so terrified of speaking that they'll hold everything and won't say a word. And the boldness that comes to Peter and John in this moment is illustrated by the correction of saying what you think versus what you know. Because I want to tell you something. There are a lot of times in every day that I wished I could choose the latter, the former over the latter. I wish that I could say what I really think versus what I know. You know what I'm talking about? Why is it that some people talk to you harshly, tell you what they think of you, and they will just cut you down and level you? And you want to respond equally. You want to share with them the same hurting words that they've just hurt you with. I get this all the time. People say something and tell me their unsolicited opinion to me. And I just wished in my own strength, I just wished that I could come back and address someone, cut them down the way that I feel like I've been cut down. Are you with me on that? Do you ever feel that way? But I realize I can't do that. I can't speak what I want to speak because it wouldn't be helpful. My wife often has to remind me, but Brandon, you're the preacher. People are watching you, so don't do that. And I'm just talking about social graces, those awkward moments that in my awkwardness, I think I'm somewhere shoehorned in a middle category of just I got all of the awkwardness and none of the graces, it seems. But to be able to speak what you think is harmful, but to speak what you know is right, is helpful. Because you and I need to realize that we could insert ourselves and we could win the conversation and we could go nuclear on someone and we could certainly win a conversation. We certainly could set the record straight. But what would it do for the sake of Christ? We'd lose our testimony and we'd lose our witness. And everything that we had done up till that point gets wiped out and canceled out. Because people are looking and they're watching us and they want us to make a mistake so that it will invalidate what it is that we say concerning Jesus and the power in his name. Yeah, there's a lot to say about the power to stand up and speak, but it doesn't have much to do with saying what you think. It has everything to do with sharing what you know. But wait a minute, Peter and John were unlearned and uneducated. How in the world did they get it? Well, look with me at verse 26, James 1, 26. If a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You see the point? If you and I were to stand up and to speak out and to not control our tongue, that it cancels out all of the good that we've done, suffered in Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name. And the point that James makes about our tongue is you can't control it. It's unruly. It's uncontrollable. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Because, you know, you think about an extrovert, he's just going to blurt out whatever he's going to say, but an introverted person's going to hold it in, but they'll think it in their head and in their heart. Where do we get through that disconnect where we begin to communicate what we know versus what we think? And as Peter and John are given this gift of standing up with boldness before these men, we understand that boldness isn't just shouting over the crowd. It's not trying to escalate the volume of the conversation. Sometimes boldness is knowing when to hold your tongue. Not inserting yourself, not saying your opinion, but rather speaking the witness of Jesus. So we look at verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was showed. This man, who had this issue for 40 years, we answer it today, 40 years. It wasn't a long con. It wasn't something that was fabricated or orchestrated. This man was alive before Jesus arrived in Bethlehem that night in the manger. His problem was recognized long before. It's not something that he grew into. It's something that he had, an issue that he had. And in this moment, when Peter and John heal him there at the temple, we find this miracle was 40 years in the making. And I think that's amazing about grace. How for you and I, as we receive God's measure of grace in our life, we think about it in moment by moment, not realizing all the while ago the Lord was working to bring us successfully to this moment to stand for him, to share him. And the Lord's been using your life, the ups and the downs, not to teach you what to think, but to teach you what you know, who he is and what he has the power to do, because he's done it in your life. He's touched you. He's changed your heart. And whether or not you're outspoken or you are shy, it is easy to recognize the power of God's grace at work in our lives as a believer that has been working all along. That's the beauty of grace. When we look back to see, Lord, you're meeting my need there and there and there and there, and you brought me to here. So I'm going to stand with boldness and share in confidence you. And then lastly, we see the power to serve for Christ's sake. Look with me at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. This is Peter and John. They've just been released, and now they go back to their own company. That's the 5,000 followers of Jesus. That's the disciples of Jesus that have gathered. What a meeting that must have been as they come. Not to have their wounds licked, but rather to see Jesus do something amazing because of their suffering, because of their boldness to speak out. We see Jesus trading their hardship for worship. And let me just say to you this morning that the crisis you find yourself in right now, don't let it go to waste. If you just see it as the misery, as the suffering that you're going through, and you do not recognize God's hand along the journey, you're going to miss out and you're just going to see the hardship. But just like our witness and our testimony and boldness, when times are difficult, the Lord can transform our hardship into worship. And look how he does it here in Acts 4:24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. And they stand there that day that Peter and John tell them about all of the hardship and how that Annas and Caiaphas had told them, shut your mouth, do not speak anymore in this name of Jesus. And they realize, that group that day stands out and speaks out. And we see the transformation of hardship to worship. And they make the declaration of Jesus being the sovereign Lord. He's the one that made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Kind of easy to be bold for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you think about his ownership of all of creation. He's the one in charge. He's the one that made it. And I'm just his representative. He's done all the hard work. We see that worship flowing from their declaration of Jesus as the sovereign Lord. And I think there's probably a disconnect in our faith. I think that's probably where it breaks down for us, is that we think of ourselves as the sovereign. It's what gives us the strength to not speak out when we know we need to speak out, to not stand up when we know we need to stand up, and to try to escape suffering when that's God's plan for us. We think ourselves to know better. But remember, at best, you and I are uneducated and unlearned, but through the power of Jesus and the work of his Holy Spirit, he gives us that boldness. Look with me at verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And their hardship was transferred to worship when we see in verse 28, even though everyone was set at naught against Jesus, the leaders, the children of Israel, stood against Jesus, the message of the gospel is that this was God's plan and his design to make an atonement for you and for me. The message of the cross didn't happen because evil men won out, but rather we see that transformation of hardship to worship being, we should follow Jesus according to his plan. Have you ever thought that the suffering that you're encountering right now is by God's design? The pressure that you're under right now, the feeling that you're under right now, the trying of your faith is by his design. Wait a minute, that's not the view of God that I have. And my Jesus, he only wants good things for his children, and he does. But do not think that suffering is not a good thing. I know it sounds crazy, but castor oil, by design, is there to help you and not harm you. And I'm glad that it is not readily used today. But the hardships that you and I experience in life, the power that we have to serve the Lord, we recognize that every moment of our life is the Lord has been working and leading us to that moment. That's the mind-blowing part about serving Jesus. That His Spirit has been working in our hearts, and His grace has been working in the lives of believers, leading us moment by moment. And when we surrender to Him, He's going to take us to the next moment, and we trust that His work is good because He is good. And every moment along the way is one of those wonderful God moments that's brought us to that big pivotal moment. And you know what? You're in a pivotal moment right now, and you're going to be in a pivotal moment tomorrow if you're living according to God's plan. By His design, we serve Him, not ourselves. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child of Jesus. By what authority and by what power, Peter and John, do you make this witness? By the name of the Holy Child of Jesus. And that for their boldness, for the believers there that day who've witnessed that Peter and John were going to get apprehended, they could spend a night in jail, that in order to serve Jesus, it's going to mean that we preach His word. Oh, there's that word again. The introverts are terrified. I can't preach. I can't preach. I can't do it. I can't stand up in front of people and speak. It terrifies me. And for the extroverted person, preaching, no problem. There is a problem. I hope we've defined it. Extroverted people insert a lot of themselves sometimes. And introverted people think too much of themselves and don't insert anything at all. And they're willing to be quiet. But to be a witness and to be a testimony for Jesus comes down to speaking the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus. Your life has been transformed by the power of God's Son. My life has been transformed by the power of God's Son. And unashamedly, our lives are not our own but belong to Him. The time has been called for these group of people that day to realize we're not going to let going to jail stop us. And just in case you think that I'm advocating rebellion, resistance, I'm saying that in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us the grace to endure whatever hardship He calls us into. That night that Jesus stood before the chief priests and they sent Him to Pilate, and Pilate makes that wager with the crowd. Would you rather have the zealot, the one who's trying to overthrow the government, or do you want us to crucify Jesus? Which one do you want? And the crowd chose the insurrectionist, the man of rebellion, Barabbas, over Jesus. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus did it by way of suffering and hardship. And Jesus did it for you and for me. And the beauty and the simplicity of that. We start to redefine what preaching is. Maybe it's standing on a street corner. Maybe it's a gentle conversation with someone that you know. Maybe it's just sharing your testimony with someone who's going through a difficult situation, something that which you can empathize with because you've been there yourself, an opportunity to share Jesus, willing to suffer a little bit for His sake, whether willing to speak a little bit for His sake, able to stand up for His sake and worship for His sake. We come to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Of all the gifts of the Spirit that we see, the attributes the Holy Spirit gives to believers, Paul's going to address an issue in the Corinthian church about those people are preferring the gift of tongues, and they're wanting to have these external manifestations, and Peter is here in this moment. John is here in this moment. The believers here are in this moment and seeing an overlooked blessing of the Holy Spirit, the boldness that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. They spake the word of God with boldness, it says. And before they did that, they hit their knees, and in prayer, they ask God to work in them and through them. The connection in verse 31 was their prayer and the gift of boldness to them. They went to their knees persuaded that it would not be a wasted exercise, it would not be a fool's errand to talk to Jesus and ask him for the strength to stand, ask him for the strength to speak, even though their personality type might get in the way. The power of prayer to access boldness. You and I should not discount the desire for believers to spend time in prayer asking God to give us the boldness moment by moment. What about the description of the building? Did you see that? The place was shaken. Now that is some kind of prayer. Was it because 5,000 people hit their knees and the little rickety room began to shake? I think that the place was shaken, meaning that it was turned upside down. That rather than stomping out the fire of the gospel of the message of Jesus Christ, because of Peter and John's suffering in jail overnight, the believers were mobilized. The place was shaken and turned upside down. So don't underestimate the power of prayer. Jesus is going to use a teaching moment in Luke chapter 22 to show his disciples about the power of prayer. The night that they went to the garden, remember after they had the upper room experience, they go into the garden to pray, and he tells them, he says, y'all sit here and pray. Watch and wait. And I'm going to skip down to verse 44, and we see here Jesus praying. The angels have just ministered to him, and him being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, of great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. His disciples were too grieved to pray. They were so overwhelmed at the news that Jesus was going away, that they were just exhausted from serving, and they were just wore out, and they did not even know the testing and the trials that the next 3 days would hold for them. And they were too busy with tiredness and faithlessness to pray, too grieved to pray. Their sorrows had overwhelmed them, and I think that happens to us. We lose our focus in trials. We lose our focus in life. Jesus says in verse 46, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Right now, you may be resisting that urge to fall asleep. Maybe you've succumbed, and someone gently is going to nudge you in the next few moments until you wake up because service is over. The disciples' temptation not to pray was what Jesus is correcting. And the temptation that he's charging them with is the temptation to do nothing but what I want over what Jesus wants in my life. If there's a deficiency spiritually in our life, where is the breakdown? Is it because God hasn't put the infrastructure in place? Or is it because of weakness on my part? That I'm not tapped into the scriptures. I'm not tapped into having a vital prayer life. I think a lot of times the reason why we don't stand up and speak, the reason why we're not willing to suffer, and the reason that we do not share is because we succumb to this temptation to do what I want and not what Jesus has called us to do. But just you worry and just you fret. Listen to this. In the moment here, it wasn't just because somebody had went through something difficult and the believer said, you know what, we'll do that too. We forget the power source behind the circumstance. It is the Holy Spirit in work in those there that day that gives them the boldness to go out in Jesus' name. The power of the Holy Spirit. Of all the spiritual gifts that the church found itself fighting over at Corinth, boldness is one of those issues that I think sometimes the church neglects because we think that we're good enough or okay, we can make the calls, maybe we can make the decisions, or we forget that with boldness, it's the power of the Holy Spirit giving us the words to say at the right time. Sometimes it's understanding the right words to say by not saying something. Well, you knucklehead, you got yourself into this mess. Remember, don't insert yourself. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't rebuke or you shouldn't correct sin. But understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit what the circumstance requires. Learning to speak to someone with grace. That's the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives. Understanding that, Lord, I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to share, and I'm going to need you to give me your boldness to do this, because it's just not part of my personality type. Whether I am terrified of speaking in front of people, or whether I have comfort speaking in front of people, Lord Jesus, I just want people to see you through me. Do you see it there in Acts chapter 4? Peter and John suffered for Christ's sake, and the church was mobilized with boldness for Christ's sake. Here's the big idea this morning. The Holy Spirit enables us with the power to stand, to speak, and to serve. And the question that we ask week after week is, am I following my own will? Am I resisting the temptation to do what I want versus what the Lord wants for me to do? Or am I following the Spirit's leading? You know, that convicting work that comes upon sinners when we do wrong, that work that the Holy Spirit does that makes us feel crummy inside, shouldn't be part of a believer's life when we have a moment where we realize, oh, I missed the ball, I dropped the point, I lost it, I wasn't focused, I wasn't surrendered. Am I following the Spirit's leading? Don't worry, He's going to give you boldness when you surrender to Him. May this be our prayer this morning. Jesus, give me the power of boldness to bend my knees first.
This has been the Andrews Memorial Baptist Hour. And before we go today, friend, I'd like to ask you life's most important question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? The Bible makes it so very clear that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in fact, because we're sinners, we deserve hellfire judgment. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ went to the cross for your sins. He died on that cross, He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. Jesus Christ paid your debt. And why? Because He loves you so. The Bible tells us, but God committeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's His gift to you. The Bible tells us the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Himself told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. The Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not call on Him today? You can pray a prayer like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve to pay the penalty for my sins. But I believe that You died in my place and You rose again to pay for my sins. Lord, I believe and I trust in You alone to be my Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sin to You, Lord. Thank You so much for dying for me. Now please give me the grace and strength to live each day for You. Friend, if we can be of any help to you, please let us know. You can call us on the telephone at 336-228-7801. Or you can join us in person for one of our worship services at 301 West Elm Street in Graham, North Carolina. We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. You can also watch our live stream online at andrewsmemorial.org. I hope that you'll be able to join us again on this station next week at the same time. Friend, remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. At Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, loving our God and loving our neighbors.